we would in Ephesians chapter 5. I had a different message, and I have no notes for our media team or for our deaf or for our Spanish, so pray for them, and we'll just do the best we can. But look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 15. Get there, Ephesians 5, verse 15. We'll get it up on the screen. There we go. All right, we're good. Ephesians 5, verse 15. The Bible says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." And this verse 17 is going to be our proposition. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Being understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's Mother's Day, and I had something else I was going to share, but I feel like this would be the appropriate time. I feel the Lord has led me in this. But if you turn back just a couple of pages into 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, the verse we know very well says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When we receive Christ, there immediate salvation, immediate instant justification took place. And then the beginning of sanctification started in our life. Sanctification is where God deals with His children on a daily basis to cull out the things that aren't Christ-like. God wants to transform us into His likeness, in the likeness of Jesus, into His image. And because of that, there should be a change. You should go home tonight to a Christian home. I'm going home tonight to a Christian home. All of my life, I couldn't always say that. But I do want to say, I went home to a good home. I think just the best home that it could be without Christ in it. But you should be going home to a Christian home tonight. What are things that you find in the Christian home? First of all, you find people, all, that have believed in Christ. They have confessed their sins. They have received the Lord, and they have had that spiritual awakening where they've seen themselves as sinners, and they've cried out to God, and God has saved them. That's where the beginning of the Christian home starts. And then it should be a home that loves God. In your home, in your Christian home, you should have a great love for God more than anything else on the list. I'm not saying shooting pool is wicked. I'm not saying racing cars are wicked. I'm not saying playing basketball is wicked. I'm not saying, you know, these things are wrong. But I want you to know, nothing should supersede your love for God because you have a Christian home. Christ is first. Christ is preeminent. And anything that offends Him offends us. And anything that He loves, that He admires, we love and we admire because we love Him. In a Christian home, people are believers and they're saved. In a Christian home, we love God. God is preeminent. He is at the top of our priority list. In a Christian home, we sit and we read the Bible and we pray. And we do it apart and together. We have a time where we get along with God ourselves in a Christian home. If you don't do these things, you don't have a Christian home, friend. And you sit down and you read your Bible, but then there's a time of family altar. Oh, I love the times that we came together as a family. We read the Bible and we might have sang a hymn. And we advanced through the years when they were just little bitty with the big red, what's that book called, Rachel? Storybook. What is it? You remember Rachel Bell? Y'all were four. You should remember it, you know. But we used that, and it was put out by the Bill Rice Ranch, and then, of course, it had pictures and Bible stories. But a Christian home, you read the Bible in your home. You don't kick the dust off your Bible to come to church on Wednesday. You kick the dust off your Bible to come to church on Sunday. But in the Christian home, everyone's a believer. Everyone's confessed their sins. Everyone's been saved. Everyone knows they're going to heaven. In a Christian home, you love God. In a Christian home, you read the Bible. You pray together. And in a Christian home, you're Christ-like to each other. Man, I tell you what, we got a lot of people in the foxhole shooting at each other. But I want you to know, in a Christian home, you're Christ-like to each other. You love the deacons at the church, but not more than you love the people in your Christian home. Oh, you adore the pastor of the church, but not like you love and adore the people in the Christian home. You see what I'm saying? You know, you can't kick and cuss and fuss, come into church, and then pick up a hymn book and sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. That's not a part of a Christian home. But you are saved, you love God, you're in your Bible, you're praying together and reading the Bible together, and you're Christ-like to each other. Now, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, all things are past. Behold, all things are new. There's a change that takes place. If you believe that, say amen. It's true. And there are three changes I want to talk to you about, and then I'll be done. Let me say that there is a change in your relationship. When you get saved, there's a change in your relationship. There's a change in your relationship with God. Before, where God was estranged, or before, where God was thought very little about, He is preeminent in your mind, and He is someone that you are consciously talking to, praying to, thinking about. There is a change in your relationship. Notice verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And what it's making a comparison to, just as alcohol intoxication changes a person's who they are, the Holy Spirit changes who we are. He says, "Be filled with the Spirit." And there's a change in our relationship. Notice we become thankful in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We become thankful. Notice in verse 19, there's a melody in our heart. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's a change in your relationship. You've got a song in your heart. There's a grateful spirit about you. And listen, there's a submissiveness about you. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There's a great change that happens in a Christian home. I'll find myself whistling a hymn. And I'll come in and I'll say, "Debbie, what is this song?" It goes like this. And she said, "I have no clue what that is." But Joy shows me an app on the phone that you can hum it to, and it'll tell you the name of the song. So I hum it to it, and Siri says, "I have no idea." But I whistle it, don't I? And it says, "That song is this." And it's amazing. And I may end up being a songwriter after all. Who knows? But I want you to know, before the Lord came into our heart, we were far from God. We had no song in our heart. We had no thanks. As a matter of fact, I think maybe there was more of a greed that was there. There was no submission. None of that. You see, when God changed us, He changed our relationship. Our fights with each other was horizontal. That has stopped. And now our battle is vertical. It's with the Lord and me. Can you say amen? There's a change in our relationship. But secondly, there's a change in our roles. You look into the passages and you'll see and you understand that the church is the bride of Christ. And there's this portrait that's painted for us here. Christ is the groom, and the groom is coming one day for His bride. And we see in this passage that we have a role to play The husband is Jesus, and the wife is his people. And notice the attributes that the wife is to be. Verse 33, look if you would. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And look what it says. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. There's a reverence. There's a change in roles. And wives, listen to me. If you have a Christian home, you reverent your husband. You respect him. You regard him. Well, I've seen these women popping their gum and hands on their hip and saying, I'll respect my husband when he deserves it. And I want to tell you something. God tells you to do it. And he says, reverence him. Then look at verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The role of the wife is to reverence, to respect her husband, and to be submissive, to say, yes, honey, yes, to be submissive to her husband. Now, everyone's responsible for playing their role. The husband, notice what his role is in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You're to love your wife, and you're to give yourself for your wife. If she's struggling, reverence you, respecting you. If she's struggling being submissive to you, it's because your love for her is not what it ought to be. Notice, you're to sanctify your wife in verse 26. This is your role, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now I want to tell you something. Yeah, this has got to cease. But in most Christian homes today, the wife is the spiritual leader. I'm sorry to say that. I think if the wife said, hey, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I think we ought to start going to the Mormon church. I think half husbands say, okay. But you are responsible for bringing your wife into sanctification. You are responsible for breaking down the word for your wife. You are responsible for leading your wife spiritually. And if you don't know the answer, call your pastor. And if he doesn't know the answer, he'll call someone who does. It's a great, great, wonderful thing that God knew the wife would need. She needs the shoe of submission because she hasn't the wherewithal to deal with the cruelties of this world. And that's where the husband is the protector and the provider for his wife. And he can just say, honey, don't worry your pretty little noggin about it again. I'm on this and I'll take care of it. And then you get on it. You get on that white steed and you get on your armor and you get on your sword and your armor and your shield and your helmet and you slay the giant. And let the wife know that you're capable. You see, you are to love her. You're to give to her. You're to sanctify her. You're to cleanse her with the washing of the water. You help your wife with her sins. If she's got a gossip problem, you help her with that. If she has some issue that's not Christ-like, you help her. It is your job to do these things. Notice what it says in verse 29 of the husband. This is your role. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord. The husband, you're to love and give. You're to sanctify and cleanse. And you're to nourish. You nourish your wife. You cherish your wife. I want to tell you something, pal. Don't you take her for granted. Before the week is done, God forbid, but before the week is done, you could be laying your wife in the arms of Jesus. I mean, completely broadsided. Everyone is responsible for playing their role. Ladies, respect and submission. Gentlemen, love, giving. Say yes as much as you can. Sanctify and cleanse and nourish and cherish. Now, there's a change in our relationship. There's a change in our roles. But let me say this. When you do this, there's a change in our results. Look what it says in Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What are you talking about? There's a change in results. I see these kids today. They're so lost. I see kids that were in our Christian school years ago. And I mean, they are so, so lost. Some parents think it's cute. Some parents think it's a fad. But I'll tell you something. It's a crying shame. Someone's got steel sticking through their nostril. It's a crying shame. Somebody's got, you know, more steel in their face than a 54 Ford. It's a crying shame. It's a crying shame that kids lose their virginity before they're even ever out of high school. Some in junior high. Lose their virginity. Throw away the most precious thing God has given them. You see, we see that there's a change in the results. What it is success. Success at home with your children. I was with Ella a few days ago, and we were driving through this neighborhood, and I passed a house, and I remember the family who lived in that house. This is back probably 30 years ago. And this was a nice couple. And they had joined our church. They were not in our church very long, but just a short while. And he called me one night and said, "Can you please come over here?" And I went over to their house. This was 30 years ago, maybe longer than 30 years. He said, "I want to show you something." And he took me down the hallway. It leads down to the spare rooms and the master bedroom. And the sheetrock all the way down the hallway was broken out in large holes. And he said, "My teenage son wanted to go out trick-or-treating on Halloween. He wasn't going out to collect candy. He was going out for mischief with a rowdy bunch of friends that are just troublemakers. He was so livid that he came out of his room with a baseball bat, and every hole you see here in the wall was where he was swinging at my head. There's not much I could do for that family. They didn't stay very long. But I remember going home to my Christian home. And not only was my walls in place, so was my heart. I'll tell you something. Listen, you better put Christ first. There better be a change in your relationship, a change in your roles, and a change in the results. That's what God wants us to have. How do you know that, Pastor? Because he tells us in verse 17, what the will of God, or what the will of the Lord is. Stand with me, would you please? Father, help our homes. Lord, help us to have that right relationship, a melody in our heart, a song that's there, gladness and thanksgiving and submission from both husband and wife to you. May we stop the fighting and the argument, the battles in our homes. May we put the devil out. And may we have a Christian home with this new relationship with you. Reading the Bible and praying and loving you and being sure of our salvation and being Christ-like to each other. Lord, would you help us adapt to our roles? Anything with two heads is a freak. And Lord, you have designated the husband to be the leader, not just in the budget, not just in things of what they have for dinner and where they're going to go on vacation, but he's the leader. He's a spiritual leader. He is to love his wife. He's to give himself for his wife. He's to sanctify her. He's to cleanse her by the washing of the word. He's to instruct her in holy living, in demonstration and word. He's to nourish her. He's to cherish her. And then, Lord, if we play our part that you've given us, we'll see the change in the result. We'll see a child. We'll see children who will grow up in the nurture in the admonition of the Lord. Boy, it'd be great tonight with our heads bowed and eyes closed for couples to come in a moment and say, Lord, we're missing out here. It'd be good tonight to go home and for the husband to say, children, wifey, I've been wrong here. I've been a little bit lax in reading the Bible or praying or being Christ-like. Sometimes I'm unkind. Sometimes I'm worldly. I've asked God to forgive me. I want you to forgive me. Let me tell you what's great. You can start over like that tonight. And God wants you to. I want you to go home to a Christian home. We have the power of God that has changed us. In our relationships, in our roles, and certainly in our results. Father, bless tonight. Help our families, help our couples to come tonight and desire to be right in these areas and have a Christian home. In thy name I pray. Right now, God spoke to you. Won't you come?